strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford.
He's hit and thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Ron Wolfley.
How'd that feel, Mr. Fancy Pants?
And Calais Campbell.
Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
Oh, there we go. Wolf, does the Red Sea travel? Does the Red Sea travel out here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center?
They travel, Paul, yes.
Oh, they travel. Come on, let's hear you one more time. It is the Big Red Rage. It is Thursday night. Cardinals are coming off their second straight win. Ron Wolfley, yours truly, Paul Calvisi. I don't even know if the host of this show has to say anything here tonight. It wouldn't make for good radio, I'll tell you that much. But did his play not say it all on Sunday, folks? How about that? Did the stat line not speak for itself, Ron Wolfley against Carolina on Sunday?
Paulie, you're pandering right now.
Do you want me to list it? Okay, I'll list it. It violates my rule of no math, but here we go. Two sacks, a safety. He had a forced fumble. He had two tackles for loss. He had two QB hits, and I probably missed something in there. Calais Campbell, everyone.
Yeah, that was a pretty good game.
I see.
Things went well. Got lucky a few times.
How did you feel about that safety? Had you ever recorded a safety before? I'm trying to remember.
Not in the NFL, no.
No, not in the National Football League. How'd that feel?
It felt amazing. That was my first points. You know, I don't score too often, so I get points anywhere I can. I loved it.
It was really interesting because they tried to slide their protection, right? They tried to block you with the center, and you were in a three technique, I believe.
Well, they didn't anticipate me coming inside, so just he had help if for me going inside. So, you know, pretty guard was trying to block me still, but when I came inside, he wasn't ready for me, and one-on-one with the center, I'm going to win that most of the time.
Yeah, that's a doggone good center, too, Ryan Khalil, though.
Oh, yeah.
That is one of the better centers in the National Football
League.
Has
been for a long time.
So, wait a minute. Your first points, like, in the NFL or on any level? I mean, qualify that for
us.
Well,
in the NFL.
Okay.
Actually, I guess college, too. I had a test on the college with the quarterback. Same thing.
They called it back. That doesn't count, Calais. It doesn't count. They called it back.
In my heart, though, that was a touchdown.
See, it was some boneheaded teammate got some sort of arbitrary flag that didn't matter in the play, and then it cost you a touchdown. Is that what happened in college?
Well, they said that he was down before he fumbled. And you watch film, he definitely wasn't down.
He wasn't down.
Calais, you got to let it go,
exactly.
Man. You got to let that go. Just cut it loose, big guy.
Every Friday has a therapy session on that one. Not everybody can be your best pal, Dan Williams, and have a touchdown in this league, right?
Yeah, man.
You know?
It's lucky guy there.
Yeah.
How is Danny doing, by the way? Does he continue to recover since the tragedy of his father, of course?
Yeah,
is he getting better?
Every day he's getting a little bit better. I mean, he's doing real good, actually. I think that, playing helped him out a lot.
Getting
out there and doing what he loves was good for him.
Is this defense getting better?
the scary thing is we made a lot of mistakes last week. We still play very well.
That's like exciting. What? I mean, like, what would be the, not naming names, but naming mistakes. Like, what is the defense guilty of that it has to remedy, affect them immediately?
I mean, we got out of our gaps a few times. We had different people on different coverages a couple times. We just rallied to the football and tackled still. But we definitely could have played a lot better. But, it's a start, stepping stones. It's still early in the season. We're getting better and better each week. And it's scary how good we can be.
And if your defensive coordinator, Todd Bowles, doesn't let you know, I'm going to imagine your D-line coach, Brenston Buckner, does let you guys know if you're making mistakes.
All the time.
He doesn't hesitate to point that kind of stuff out, does he?
Not even a little bit. I feel like I'm always messing up. I'm like, I thought I had a decent game, but I guess I didn't.
I see. So you got to come here to Big Red Rage for a little affirmation, okay?
Yes,
after the coaches take you down, we build you back up. It is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell and a very special guest next, all presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Darryl Washington making his 2013 debut at linebacker. Snap to Newton. Straight drop back. Being chased from behind by Washington, who sacks him. Forced out of the pocket. Rolling left, being chased by Washington at the 15. And Washington gets him. Back to throw Newton. Fires over the middle. Intercepted at the 10-yard line by Washington.
Oh, what a play by Jägermeister Darryl Washington. Huge play by Darryl Washington.
Welcome back, D. Wash, making his presence felt.
Darryl Washington has taken over this game defensively for the Cardinals.
You know what? If I read all his numbers, it might take a while. So let's just say in the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell and special guest, just get into the intro because everyone knows who's sitting here already. I'll get to the numbers momentarily when we have like a whole 5-minute block or something. Go ahead with the introduction.
Yeah, man. I don't have anything clever today. You know, just a simple, you know, I really think he's the best player in, you know, on the team. That's including myself, which I think I'm pretty good.
And, you know, you're all right, Calais.
I think he's, you know, probably the best linebacker in all of the NFL. You know, hopefully when he's done playing, he might be one of the best to ever play the game. My man, Darryl Washington.
How about that? That was a heck of an intro off the cuff. No doubt about it. Darryl, you feeling as good as you looked out there on Sunday?
Yeah, right now I'm feeling pretty good. I appreciate the fans for coming out. Really do.
You know, the least you could have done, D, is to ease your way coming back. You know what I mean? You come back the first – how did it feel? You know, again, you had the preseason, of course, but then 4-game suspension. How did it feel your first game back?
It felt good. I was just ready to – I was so anxious to play, man. You know, like I said, the football field is my sanctuary, so I was able to get out there with my teammates and help those guys win, man. It was unbelievable.
What was harder for you? Was it the mental side of it? Was that more difficult once the game started or the physical side?
I think it was more mental. You know, you have to get back into the mix of things of running around and using your eyes to see pullers and blockers. So I think the first half I actually struggled. But the second half, man, I turned it on. It was downhill.
Yeah, and we talked about that after the game. I mean, you felt like the first half, it was a transition process. You were sort of easing back into it, correct?
Correct. So,
and what was the biggest adjustment that first half? I mean, what were you trying to get accustomed to exactly?
I was trying to settle down, man. I was so anxious to play, man. And, you know, I felt like all eyes was on me. So I had to just play my game and not try to be Superman or anything. But that second half, man, I definitely wanted to play well.
You know, a lot of guys talked after the game, Calais, about how – the presence of Darryl and 58 out there really changed things. What was it like having him out on the field and one of those 11 guys? What did it mean for the rest of you guys?
It was huge. You know, I feel like we're a very good team all around. We have a lot of pieces to the puzzle. You know, but I think the number 58 out there is like that glue. You know what I mean? You know, his ability to cover or blitz or just in the run game. I mean, he always shows up no matter what they're doing. And so he makes everybody else's job easier because now teams are so worried about 5'8" that, you know, I don't see as many double teams. You know, he can cover, you know, tight ends and on post routes and go routes, and DBs and safeties can help over the top with other guys. He makes everybody's job way easier.
Calais, what is Darryl like in the huddle? What is he like in the huddle? What is he like on the sideline?
Oh, man, he's all right. He's a little crazy. You know, I think he loves the game, you know, which I respect because I love the game. So you kind of sense that, you know, in his blood. You can see it sense in his eyes. When you're talking to him, you know, on Sunday, you know, all he wants to do is play well, man. He wants to make sure we play well. So he's always trying to get me hype. And I'm like, man, I'm already too hype, man. You can't give me too much hype, more hype. I'm gonna go crazy.
What about that, Darryl? How do you think you act? How do you conduct yourself when you play? Are you a guy that is vocal? Are you a vocal guy?
I think so. I mean, last week, I think I was talking too much, and the guys thought I was nervous. And I was just, you know, I was just so pumped up for this game, you know, especially at home. You want to play well.
What are some of the things that you say to your teammates?
Well, I just try to motivate them.
Don't do it verbatim, by the way.
I won't do that. But I just try to motivate these guys and you know, with verbal talking and them understanding the game the way I do in a different perspective.
Do you challenge them? Do you challenge yourself? When you talk, are you challenging yourself?
Always. I mean, anytime you want to be vocal, you want to make sure that you're backing it up. And when those guys see that you're backing it up, those guys are ready to follow you. So it's always good to challenge yourself.
But it's so critical that you're doing, right? That you're out there on the field and you are doing and you're putting in your effort and you're making plays. It's critical,
that's
right, if you want to be a leader.
That's the biggest piece of the puzzle.
Indeed.
Well, you told the story on the show last week, Calais, right? You guys on the practice field a week ago at this time, and Daryl came up to you, right? Because there were some injuries and you're getting some extra reps in practice. And what did he say to you? Came up to you, right?
He's like, come on, man. We need you to ball. He was like, I got to step up. You know, I mean, it was, he's always been a leader, natural, you know. And I remember, like, you know, on the field, like, he was so pumped up and always talking about the Carolina game, you know, all through the week. On Friday, I was like, you know, are you nervous, man? And so, you know, he went out there and proved that he was not even a little bit nervous.
How critical is that, though, to have a player be a leader like that? Instead of just the coaches and the coaches always barking, how critical is to have a guy who's actually one of the best players, one of the best leaders?
It's huge, you know, and I feel like we have a lot of guys like that. You know, Daryl's definitely, you know, one of the best leaders because he leads by example. But then when he's vocal, you listen to him because you know what he's doing is obviously right. You know, but you also have, like, guys like myself and Patrick Peterson and Darnell Dockett and, you know, even Carlos Dansby. I mean, we have a lot of guys on that defense who are all very outspoken and you know, they all play well. So, you know, we all feed off each other.
Well, just to let everyone know, the numbers in the final stat box were a team-high 9 tackles, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, 2 QB hits, an interception, and a pass defense. How about that for Daryl Washington out there? My goodness. What'd you like best about it? Seriously, Daryl, what'd you like when you went back through the film? What'd you like the most? What'd you like the worst about your performance?
The worst, that I didn't play well the first half. What I like best about it, that we won. And I did like the interception that I caught.
Oh, yeah. That was,
I can't even lie about that.
I'm going to ask you about that when we come back.
Yeah. Okay. Although the coaches are relentless, I'm going to ask you about that as well. Okay? And we're going to talk about that. That'll be It's All About You, presented by Santan Ford. When we come back, yes, Calais Campbell, special guest Daryl Washington, all presented by the guys at Santan Ford, Tim Hovick and Company here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Dragged down in the backfield by Calais Campbell.
Boy, did you see that big tree run down the line of scrimmage?
Pass play out of the end zone. Newton hit and sacked for a safety by Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell, man, is it good to see the big guy making plays.
Snap to Newton. Back to pass. Gets hit. Ball's out. Calais Campbell forced the ball out of the hands of Cam Newton.
You want your best players to make the best plays in the biggest games. And it was Calais Campbell, once again, who answered the bell.
How about sacks in 5 consecutive home games? A pair of sacks, the safety, the forced fumble, 2 tackles for loss. Same question for Calais Campbell here on the Big Red Rage with Daryl Washington. What did you like the best about Sunday when it came to your own performance?
Oh, man, my own performance? You know, I really felt like it was just fun being out there and just, you know, at the end of the game, knowing that you had the game won. Actually won the game decisively. You know, it wasn't a last-second play, you know.
Let's talk about Carolina, because Carolina, one of the better rushing teams in the National Football League. As a matter of fact, they were number 3 coming into that game. Number 3 in rushing, 151 yards per game they were averaging. You guys shut them down, 90 yards rushing. From your perspective, D-Wash, what did you guys do? How did you shut them down the way you did?
I think we played sound football. I mean, that was the most important thing, was stopping the run, understanding that if we can make a team one-dimensional and stopping the run, then we're going to be able to, you know, pin our ears back and get after the quarterback.
Calais, how many times did we bring a safety down into the box? How many times did we do that?
You know, that's important to stop on the run. You get to have 8 in the box. So we did that a whole lot. But we kind of disguised it, moved it around, and,
yeah,
you know, made it hard for them to see where he's coming and how he's coming. So, you know, I mean, we got pretty good coaches, that good game plan.
When you watch the game film, was it as it appeared? I mean, did you guys control the line of scrimmage to the degree that I thought you did when you watched it on film? Because it's never as good as you think it is, and it's never as bad as you think it is when you watch film. But when you watched it, how did you feel about the line of scrimmage and how you controlled it?
We definitely played more physical than they did. And but, you know, after our coaches expect perfection, you know, so they're honest for all the small things. So really, when I went in there, I thought I had a bad game kind of to a degree.
Daryl, but how do you go from being number 28 in the National Football League in rush defense? How do you go from that to being number 2? In the NFL?
That's my question. I second that. Ding, ding, ding.
That's a lot of sacrificing and preparation from the guys, and putting in more film and film work and studying your opponents. But also, I think we have to give a lot of credit to the coaches. So those guys do a great job of coming in on Mondays and Tuesdays and putting the game plan together, and then all we have to do is execute.
You know, I pose that question. A number of defensive guys have acted as today. I was talking with Frosty Rucker, and other guys have used the word discipline, more discipline in stopping the run. What does that mean exactly, Calais?
Yeah, it means just being gap sound, everybody doing their job, not trying to do too much, you know, but making sure you get your job done, you know. And I think the biggest thing was really the mentality we took with it. You know, I mean, last year being 28, you know, we're like, we're a pretty good defense player, man. That didn't really show too well with that stat. So I think it's more of the mentality that we're not going to be, you know, I mean, we have to stop the run first. We're not going to be terrible against the run because that's where it starts. If we stop the run, everything else is possible.
Oh, my goodness. Do I love the fact that you just said mentality. Mentality. Look, guys, I'm a big believer in that. I think a lot of stopping the run is about effort. And I think anytime you talk about effort and a lot of want to and a lot of sacrifice, you're talking about preparing yourself mentally to go give that, to go do that. And when you look at this division, when you look at the 49ers and you look at the Seattle Seahawks and even to some degree the St. Louis Rams, the strength is on the line of scrimmage. On both sides of the ball in the case of the 49ers and the Seahawks, and their mentality, I think, is what makes them special. Are you guys willing to acknowledge that and challenge yourselves mentally?
Definitely, I think so. I mean, this league is about running the ball. If you can run the ball, you know, it opens up the passing game. So in our division, man, it's a tough division, and we have a tough opponent coming up Sunday. So
yeah.
We'll be ready.
I think that, you know, that's what, you know, what makes our division so great is our front seven and the offensive line too, you know, but for really the defense is our division. It's really made off our defense and that front seven. And I feel like, you know, whoever wins the division is going to have the best front seven. And that's why I feel like we have a legitimate chance to win the division, because I think our front seven, I'll take us over anybody really.
You know, Wolf brought up game plan. I asked after the game, I asked Coach Arians, so what can you tell us now about the game plan against Cam Newton? He said nothing, because we have Colin Kaepernick and Russell Wilson next. But to what degree was the objective to try and confuse Cam Newton? Because Carlos said after the game, he said, yeah, I think we confused him a little bit. I mean, I guess that's always the game plan, right? To try and get the quarterback thinking and then eventually throwing picks like he did early fourth quarter to D-Wash.
Yeah, you know, you got to mix it up. You know, if he knows what you're doing, he can stop it easier. But when you come with different blitzes or you fake blitzes and, you know, disguise coverages, you know, they really don't have a good game plan for that, especially when you're getting hits on the quarterback and put pressure in his face. He has to get rid of the ball quick. And if his reads are wrong, I mean, it's interceptions all day.
Well, if I remember, I jotted my down in this little Pauly sideline notebook, you had called it like they disguised a fake cover zero. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
When your interception, is that what it turned out to be?
Yeah, cover zero.
Yeah, it was definitely cover zero. I think we was actually in, we called it little heavy zero. And Carlos had the running back, and I had my eyes on Cam Newton.
Cam Newton, and boom, into the passing lane, and there you go. Back with more of the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell and Darryl Washington.
Here's the snap. And a handoff left side, a sprint on Ellington, loose at the 35-30, 25-20, 15 and out of bounds near the 10.
Boy, he is elusive, explosive. Man, he is quick, isn't he?
The reason I felt like I slipped down to 6 was because of my injury in the offseason. Other than that, my ability should have gotten me drafted higher. But, you know, I'm in the right place now. You know, that's in the past. I'm looking forward now, so.
It was Andre Ellington, 6th-round pick earlier today. Certainly not playing like a 6th-round rookie. That is no debate about that. It is the Big Red Rage of Calais Campbell, Darryl Washington, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. You know, I hear guys talk about Andre Ellington. They talk about a guy who loves the game of football. You guys talked about it earlier. How critical is that? Because Wolf will back this up. When you talk to a GM like Steve Keim, you'll say he's always looking for guys who love the game of football. Why does that matter so much? And I don't know, I guess realizing your potential, right?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that when you really love the game, you're going to really put everything you can to be the best. You're not going to just settle or try to get paid. You know, a lot of guys pay to get paychecks. Once they get paid, they kind of fade away. But when you have guys who love the game, it's bigger than the money. It's just really about, you know, the sport, you know, like the energy you get from it. I mean, I love the game. I love playing because, you know, it's the energy I get with my brothers, you know, playing next to, you know, those 52 guys in there, you know, not wanting to let them down. And then all the fans in the stands, you know, I know all of them are coming together. We're becoming a family, you know, for one common goal, and that's the win.
Very well said. Very well said. Darryl, I mean, is there any doubt you love the game, and is there any doubt that maybe the 4-game suspension, if nothing else, reiterated to you, reinforced to you how much you missed the game, perhaps?
Definitely. And, you know, I've learned from that and moved forward. And, you know, this is all about football and, you know, focusing on winning and, you know, hopefully getting that Super Bowl.
You know, the second half of the 3 victories that you guys have right now, by the way, kind of buried the lead, Paul. I can't even believe you guys are 3-2 right now after 5 weeks. There's not a lot of people that thought you were going to be 3-2. I'm sorry to say that. There's not a lot of people thought you were going to be 3-2 after 5 weeks, especially because you've played, what, two home games now. Right. How does it feel to be 3-2?
Feels good. I love being underdog. I don't mind being underdog. So if you can be underdog every game.
Does that motivate you? I mean, are you a chip on the shoulder guy? Do you like the chip on the shoulder?
Definitely. And I like the big games. So, you know, I'm looking forward to this game. And I'm not looking past this game. So anytime we can, you know, be the underdogs, I'll be ready for it.
Calais, how do you feel about that, underdog chip?
Oh, I love being the underdog. I mean, we were underdog against Carolina. And that was a big motivational factor for me because I really didn't understand how it would be underdog at home, you know, against a team that, you know, had a less record than us. But, you know, it is what it is, you know, and we are 3-2, and we could easily be 4-1, but, you know, we, you know, gave that away, you know. But, you know, 3-2 sounds good, feels good, but we really want to be 4-2 now, you know. And let's just try to build one more win, stack them one at a time, and, you know, give ourselves, put ourselves in position to be, you know, in the race when it's all said and done.
How about when you guys go into a game against a team that has a top-5 defense all its own? And legitimately so. The Niners have a top-flight defense, and they have a couple of Pro Bowl linebackers on the inside. Darryl, how motivating is that to you when you go into a game like Sunday?
Well, you got to be motivated because, I mean, you will feel like those guys are playing with you. So when you go out there and watch those guys perform well, it makes you want to perform well. So, you know, I'll definitely be looking at those guys, Patrick Willis and the Baltimore Bowman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll definitely be ready. So I know they'll be watching me.
You know, when I watch them on film, Paulie, I watch the San Francisco 49ers and their defense. They are brazen. Vic Fangio is their defensive coordinator, and they refuse to put 8 in the box. They refuse to walk that safety down into the box. They put the onus on their front 7 to stop the run, period. They're one of the few teams that I have ever seen where another team will go pair personnel guys, 2 tight ends, 2 running backs, 1 wide receiver, right? If ever there was a power personnel group, it is pair personnel right there that says you're going to run the ball. They're one of the few teams I've ever seen that keeps 7 in the box when you go pair personnel. They challenge every one of their guys on the front 7 to do their job and to win. Do you think we're going to be able to run the ball effectively against that front 7?
Yeah.
How important is that, Calais?
We need to run the ball. If we don't run the ball, we're one-dimensional, and then they can, you know, just tag off on us. You know, I mean, they're blitzing and hitting the quarterback all they want to, and that's what happened in years past. But I really feel like we've been working on a running game, and I think Andre Ellington, you know, is going to have some good runs. I think Rashawn Mendenhall is, you know, finally starting to feel a little bit more healthy. And, I mean, we're gonna you know, work towards our strengths. You know, we're more of a speedy team, you know, so I think we're going to do stuff that's really going to help us get out, you know, on the edge and make stuff happen.
How much more equipped do you think Bradley Saul is now after he got that game under his belt like anybody making their NFL debut, right? And it's interesting. I was talking to guys today. They said only one play of that entire game he got help. He got either a tight end or a chip block from a back. One play. I mean, he was out there fighting and holding his own.
Yeah, you know, and I'm very proud of him. I mean, he's definitely a talent. You know, he's very athletic. And what I like about him is he's physical. You know, he's not going to just, you know, let you beat him without, you know, trying to run you by or finish you, you know. And I respect that because those are the guys I want on my team because I'm going to give it everything I have. So when he's out there getting everything he has, I mean, I'm like, man, that guy's going to be good.
You know, there was a moment I'll never forget last year. Bobby Massey, he had just been inserted in the starting lineup. Yeah. He's on the sideline. And coach after coach came over to him, and they're giving him this, and they're telling him that, and use this technique and try this and all that. And, you know, I mean, you could tell he's swimming. He's a rookie. He's in there like his second game. And finally, Jeremy Bridges, who was injured, came over, grabbed him by the neck as if he's a little puppy, and just grabbed him and said, fight him. Fight him. Go after and just physically fight him. And because at that point, you know, he couldn't really learn all this technique on the fly during the game. When you're in a game, Calais, how often does a lineman just decide, I'm going to fight this guy? And all the technique goes out the window, and all of a sudden it's just a brawl in the middle of the trenches.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I haven't had that happen to me too much, you know, but I think if it was a fight between me and offensive lineman, I'm probably winning that one. I think I'm willing to scrap a little bit more than they were.
Can I just say, too, Paulie, about Bradley Saul, guys? Watching him on film, he wasn't great, and he wasn't bad. But there are two things that I will tell you about him. Number one, you could see that he cared a lot about what he was doing. That was number one. And number two, he would fight your can off. the way he was using his hands and the urgency and the street fight that he knew he was in. You could just see it on the film. It's a great thing about the game of football, guys. You play the game and it reveals who you are. You play the game and it shows if you're smart, are you tough, are you courageous, do you have a shred of honor to you? You can see it. And it's one of the reasons why it's a great game. And watching Bradley Saul fired me up.
Well, Darryl, you told the media yesterday, there's no trickery about the Niners, right? I mean, it's just going to be straight-ahead football.
They're going to tell you what you're going to. They're going to tell you, this is what we're going to do. Can you stop it? Every yep. play. So we're going to be able to have that mentality to go in and play a good game.
Interesting. Very interesting. I'm hey, ready. A reminder, with each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo is going to donate $500 to local public schools to the Passing Touchdown for Schools program. Wells Fargo, together, will go far. It is the Big Red Rage. They are together, Calais Campbell and Darryl Washington, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
First and goal at the 7. Kaepernick drops back into the shotgun. Hunter to his left. And they're going to run an inside give to Hunter, and he's hammered. No, Kaepernick keeps it. Faking left and runs it in for a touchdown. Colin Kaepernick, his play fakes are so good, they make me sound bad.
That's the voice of the Niners right there. And yeah, I mean, it can be confusing, even the play-by-play guy, especially when you're a mile high up in the air and you're trying to watch the game through binoculars and call the game. Boom, that's what can happen sometimes. You just hope it doesn't happen to your defense if you're an NFL team going against the 49ers. And Colin Kaepernick, welcome back into the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, Darryl Washington, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. All right, a scouting report on Colin Kaepernick. You guys had him in the final game a year ago, December 30th, 2012. What did you learn in those four quarters about Kaepernick?
He really is fast.
He can move.
At least to me. You know, he's one of those guys, he's very smooth with his running ability. And, you know, but he isn't scared to, you know, take a hit and stand in there and make a throw, which I respect any quarterback who will stand in there and take the hit and make a throw. Because, you know, it's hard when you're getting hit, you know, right in the chest. You know, you're going to get hit and you still stand in there and make a throw. You know, so I respect him, you know, but I can't wait to play against him.
Is he Cam Newton fast, Darryl? I mean, yeah.
Yeah, he's fast, too. And my teammates is getting on to me, especially Calais. I thought he had an angle. He had the Usain Bolt stride.
That's true. The 6'6 stride.
That's because you got walked right after your pick. Is that what you're saying?
No, nah, I ain't saying
that. You got walked by Cam Newton.
No, I didn't say. Nah, I'll tell you who.
Yeah, but
who
he got a cornerback, too. He got a cornerback. Come on now.
I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to let you live that down. Ever. Hey. Every time you touch the ball, man, you got to get to the house.
Yeah, I feel like I should score.
Especially with a quarterback chasing you.
Yeah, yeah, right. Because Cam, yeah, okay. Yeah, look, Cam Newton, though, you did have a very impressive sack of Cam Newton where you chased him out of the pocket. And I will promise you, Cam Newton is not used to being run down from behind in that situation.
Great point.
Yeah. So who's faster, Colin or Cam?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I think both of them are athletic and can run. You know, I think Newton is bigger.
Yeah.
So it makes him maybe faster than Colin.
Okay.
How tough was it trying to bring him down? It's sort of like uprooting an oak tree, isn't it? It's tough.
It's like being Roethlisberger, bringing him down, mm-hmm. yeah, but more athletic.
Way more athletic.
Way more athletic. So
that is a tree, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what is amazing to me is how the coaches relentlessly give it to you guys, right? So you make a great play and you make the interception, right? BA's giving you a hard time. Some of the guys give you a hard time for not taking it back to the house. Patrick Peterson after the game-changing interception, right? And he comes back to the sideline. And Todd Bowles, you know, those guys are like, well, hey, I would have taken that to the house in the third grade. You know, it's amazing how the coaches never give you 100% credit because they don't want your head to get too big, I guess.
Yeah.
We got a lot of players, coaches. And those guys, Ty Bowles, man, I respect the guy a lot, you know, for what he's done for this team so far in this defense. So, you know, it's always good to have a sense of humor as well.
You know, it looks like to me the 49ers are making a concerted effort to line up and pound the football once again. I think they were kind of drifting earlier in the season, trying to find that identity as to who they were going to be. And I think the worst thing that maybe happened to them was the fact that Colin Kaepernick lit up Dom Capers' defense and the Green Bay Packers for over 400 yards throwing the ball, and suddenly they thought he was going to be Tom Brady. And I think they got away from really running the ball, but they've recently, over the last couple of weeks, it seems like they have made a concerted effort to get back to pounding the football. Do you guys see that on film?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, last game, you know, against Houston, I mean, they ran the ball just over and over and over again. If it's third and short, they're running the ball, you know, which most teams in the NFL, third short, they're throwing it. So, you know, they made a real commitment to it. But that's what I like, you know. You know, you line up, tell me what you're going to do, and let's go play football, mano a mano.
Well, in that Green Bay game, at least what I heard the analysts say, was that the Packers went with a zone coverage scheme, and that Q just lit it up because Anquan Boldin's so smart, former quarterback himself, and then he ended up just settling in the zone, finding the gaps, and he had a huge game, and, you know, him and Colin Kaepernick developed chemistry, et cetera. Is that a mistake that no team has made since, I would presume?
Right. I mean, with a team like San Francisco, you have to allow them to be one-dimensional. You have to make him one-dimensional because once you allow Colin Kaepernick to be comfortable in the pocket, then he's going to make those throws. You have to pressure the guy, force him out the pocket, you know, stop the run, and, you know, just, you know, bring pressure as much as possible.
You know, to your point there, Paulie, I think Dom Capers played as much zone as he did because he wanted all eyes on Colin Kaepernick. And when you play zone, that's what you do. You're playing in a zone room, cover two, cover three, whatever it may be. You're looking at the cue. You're feeling the route. You're feeling where the receiver is, but you're looking at the cue. And I think that's what Dom Capers was after, expecting a whole lot of the read option and Colin Kaepernick as well. Just a guess.
Well, you know, they only threw it 15 times against Houston in that big win. Of course, they took a big lead early, and they had the pick six, right? And they really victimized Matt Schaub. And what is that, four straight games with a pick six for Schaub? But, you know, Colin Kaepernick only threw the ball. I think it was 6 of 15 passing in that big win against Houston. Hey, a reminder, Cardinals single game tickets on sale now. Visit the University of Phoenix Stadium box office or Ticketmaster.com. Yes, we mentioned Anquan Boldin, the former Cardinal. We'll talk about him next. It is a Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell, Darryl Washington, Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Kaepernick gets the snap, looking left. Will throw it on a slant route, caught, and a touchdown for Anquan Boldin.
No, you don't want to see me. You garbage as heck, yo. You don't want to see me. You don't want to see me. They got to put you on your back. You don't want to see this. You don't want to see this. You garbage. You don't want to see this play, boy. I put you on your back every play. That's what's up. No, you can't see me. You garbage, dude. That's why you don't start. You garbage. Oh, now you get a name on the back of your jersey.
Oh, my gosh. That is so outstanding. Went into the archives for that. That was the one game Anquan Boldin was wearing a mic. He went all access. Yes, he was all wired up, and that's what we heard. We found out, guys, as if we didn't know it already. We got confirmation. He pretty much is a linebacker playing receiver.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's got that mentality. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, Darryl Washington. What would you say to some of the DBs who haven't gone against Q before, being a former teammate of his?
He's going to try to out-physical you. He's going to try to get in your head and pretty much punk you. You know what I mean? That's his mentality. Is just, he's going to, you know, beat you up, you know. And I feel like when you have a cornerback that can get physical with him, you know, and can match his intensity, you know, that's when he struggles the most. But when you have a guy who really kind of shines away from that, you know, he's just going to go harder and harder. And, you know, he's tough to stop once he gets going.
Because, I mean, the intensity, I don't know how many receivers bring that sort of intensity, but Calais, I mean, that was pretty much the norm for him, right? I mean, he would play a game like that. I guess a Steve Smith in his prime was sort of had that intensity, but, you know, that is... When he left the team, let me ask you something. How did the locker room change when Q left it? Just a quick word on what he did for the team in that room.
You know, what I really respect about him is he was always going to be true to you. You know, he would never tell you a lie or anything you didn't want to hear. He was going to be very blunt and keep it real. But he always had your back, especially if you had an issue with one of the coaches or whatnot. You know, he was always the guy you can go to talk to him about how to approach the coaches or whatnot. And I really respected him just because he was always honest.
Can I just tell you one thing? One of the things I loved about Anquan Boldin and still love and respect about Anquan Boldin is he doesn't try to make friends when he plays the game. Not interested. Not interested in making friends. Not going to sit there and try to talk to you and try to befriend you in the middle of the competition. He did not try to make friends. And you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. You guys know there are players out there on the field. They try to talk to you. They try to engage. They want you to laugh. Oh, boy, you really blew me up on that play. You know, look, don't ever try to make friends. when you compete in the blood sport. That would be my advice to anybody who wants to get involved. There's plenty of times to be friendly after the game, right? You can laugh it up, yuck it up all you want when you're away from the field. But I love the fact that Anquan did not try to make friends when he played the game, and there's a lot of guys who do.
But there are a lot of guys who are really intense, Daryl, who never say a word, correct? You don't necessarily have to be a trash talker to be the most furious guy out on the field, correct?
Right. You just have to just be productive. Point and simple, just be
productive. So if we put a mic on you, and I believe we have, refresh my memory. I mean, how much talking do you do? How much do you engage, you know, guys in offense?
It just depends on the game. You know, a game like San Francisco, I will be wired up this game, just to let you know. You know, it's going to be a lot of trash talking. I think I take this game personal because it is a rival game. We don't like them. They don't like us. So we'll be ready for this game, and I'll definitely do a lot of trash talking.
What about Frank Gore? Is Frank Gore a guy that gets out there and starts yakking it up out there?
Not at all.
He's ripping and dipping? No, not at all?
Not at all. I mean, you know, he'll talk back if you talk to him, but he really is more one of those guys who just keeps going downhill, lines up, and does it again.
Talk about him as a running back, guys. Both of you. Go ahead and weigh in on him as a back.
The guy is just 5'9", 5'8". Short, stout, going to line up behind those guards and tackles and squeeze through the holes and, you know, still have enough speed to bounce to the outside. So, I mean, he's a guy, a tough guy, hard to bring down.
Very physical, isn't he?
Very physical.
Yeah. Calais?
I got my my first experience with him in college playing scout team. And I tell you, I've never seen a running back that can move like he moved, you know, when I was young. You know, now, you know, playing against him year after year, I got more of a feel for him, you know, but... You know, his thing is he really has great vision, and he's so patient.
Yeah.
His patience makes him such a great running back. And he's explosive. Once he sees a hole, he's hitting it.
Come on now. Did he light you up in college? No. You on your scout team? Come on now. A little get...
Definitely
nope.
Didn't light me up, but, you know, he was real good at shifting his hips, you know. And I tried to grab him, and just I slide right off once he shifted his hips, you know. You know, he does that better than anybody in the league still to this day. But now I got a little better idea of how to tackle him, so he can't do it to me anymore.
Yeah, he breaks a lot of arm tackles, doesn't he?
He
breaks
really does.
Yeah, he runs through all those. What about Vernon Davis? What sort of matchup issue does Vernon Davis give, you know, everyone in the NFL? And I'm going to imagine Vernon Davis is a yapper, that he does talk a lot. I'm going to take a guess at that one.
You'll be correct on that.
Correct on that one. Yes, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. What about having to cover him? Because he made Houston look bad. He had a big touchdown. He left even DBs in the dust on him because he has some serious speed as well.
I mean, it's a mismatch with anyone. A DB is too small. Maybe a linebacker is too slow. You know, then an outside linebacker probably can't cover him. So you have to be physical with that guy. You can't allow him to get off the line because he's fast and he's physical. And he can catch the ball pretty well. So. But I wouldn't mind going one-on-one with him.
I was going to, and how much do you anticipate doing just that, D-Wash? Because you seem to be the one guy that might be able to hold up against a Vernon Davis.
Well, I just expect the unexpected. They put me on a guy, I'm going to do my best. But I think I have my eyes mostly on Colin Kaepernick. And so wherever they put me at on the field, I said, just don't take me off.
See, and that kind of hurt you last year, right? There were times where you came off in certain packages, and, you're a competitive guy like that, right?
Yeah, I can't. Don't take me off the field. That's embarrassing. That's like an insult.
Interesting. See, and if I'm Todd Bowles, I'm a defensive coordinator, that's sort of a tough thing. All right, do I put 58 on a Vernon Davis? Do I assign a 58 to Colin Kaepernick? You know, when do I go with either guy? Because, you know, you wish you could clone him and have that sort of speed on both guys, right?
Right. Yeah, if you got to it. Two D-Washers should be pretty good. That'd be the best linebacker core in the NFL. You know, but
and that's probably a difference between Carolina and the Niners is you got the dual threat quarterback plus, right, the tight end that runs like a 4-4.
Yeah, it makes him a lot harder to beat, you know. But when we wanted to put him on there man-to-man, I know he can stay with him, plus I know he's physical enough to, you know, to beat him up. But then, you know, in the run game, him spying is, second to none. I mean, that's why we had a lot of success against Cam Newton because we had this guy chasing Bill and telling him what to go somewhere.
Interesting. Well, I didn't see you come off the field very much against Carolina.
That was a good thing.
Exactly. That's what I thought. All right, we continue to roll on. The Big Red Rage, Daryl Washington, the special guest, and Calais Campbell, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Fitzgerald to the right, Johnson to the left, McCown back to throw, looking for Fitzgerald, and throwing it to him in the end zone. Fitzgerald leaps. Fitzgerald catches it. It's a touchdown, the first career NFL score for Fitzgerald.
It was an end zone away from the locker room on the right-hand side. Josh McCown threw it, and I caught it on Ahmad Plummer. and I ended up in Reggie Wells' arms. Yeah, I remember all the details. And, you know, Candlestick is probably, you know, one of my favorite places to play.
Sawyer Fitzgerald earlier today to our Jim Omohundro. The call was from 2004, his rookie season and his first career touchdown at San Francisco. And as you guys know, Cardinals play there twice a year ever since. So a lot of memories, a lot of plays to be made in that stadium. It'll be the final regular season trip for the Cardinals to Candlestick. As we say, welcome back into the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell and Darryl Washington. What do you think? Down memory lane, what do you remember most from Candlestick?
Well, I played my first game there. You know, that was my first game ever in 2008. We played there away, and it was just so much history in that stadium. You know, just walking through, and they have all these pictures of all the greats, and you look up in the Ring of Fame, and you have all these huge names, you know, the Joe Montanas and Steve Youngs and Jerry Rices, and it's like, wow.
The catch by Dwight Clark, obviously, everything that went down there. Heck, I grew up in the Bay Area. I was a little guy. I saw Willie McCovey go yard in Candlestick when the Giants used to play there. So, yeah, there is a lot of history, no doubt about it.
Yeah, don't remind me.
The fact,
it's a lot of bad history at Candlestick.
Now, wait a minute. The big win in 88. Remember when you guys beat the Niners in 88? That was a Sun Devil, though,
yeah,
correct?
Right. Yeah. That was that Sun
Devil.
But
that was a monumental win in the history of the Arizona Cardinals, was it not?
It was, absolutely. They won the Super Bowl that year. They won the Super Bowl that year, and Roy Green in the back of the end zone in the closing seconds from Neil Lomax won the game. I think we were down 23-0 at half. 24-3 at half, Jim Omohundro over here remembering it all. But the Candlestick Park's got a lot of bad memories for me personally, because listening to Calais Campbell talk about the Joe Montanas, the Jerry Rices, all the greats of the game. Yeah, they were the greats of the game. The problem was they were also the current.
Darryl, when you grew up, who'd you look up to? Were there guys, you know, that to this day, you know, you'll never forget, you think of as a kid following?
In the NFL?
Yeah, in the NFL. Just players, know, anybody, any athletes, in or out of sports. I mean, who were guys you looked up to?
Well, I mean, one of my favorite players is Ray Lewis. So, I mean, that's a guy that, you know, you talk about passionate of the game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a leadership, you know, a guy who's going to play the game and give you everything he has. And another guy, I mean, I watched him a little bit, Sean Taylor. Mm-hmm. That's another guy that I wish that would still be playing. You know, he's fun to watch. He's intimidating. He's a big. He can run. You know, a guy like that, I think I try to – mimic my game after. So those two guys right there, man, really motivate me to play this game the way I do.
You ever met Ray Lewis before, by the way?
Yeah, I actually did. I actually did meet him. And I thought it was so unexpected. You know, it was like a hotel suite. And I thought I was meeting a guy, someone else, and it was Ray Lewis. And I was like, wow, that's crazy.
I have a question for you. How come you didn't go to the University of Miami? You got these Miami guys you look up to, you know, that you really like watching play football. You should have kept in Miami. We could have had a good time, man.
Yeah, but, man, they say the best state is in Texas, so TCU was the right fit for me, obviously.
Hey, you just had a birthday, didn't you, Darryl?
Yeah, I just turned 27 yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yesterday, October 9th, so.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. Wait, didn't you just turn? What did you just turn?
Like a month ago, 27 as well.
27 as well, okay. All right, there
What'd
you go.
What'd you do? Did you celebrate it all?
Yeah, I celebrated with my family. I got my wife. I got my mom here, her sister, and my baby, so. You know, they're down here for a couple weeks, so.
That is awesome. You
know, we still celebrate.
That's great. You know, Calais turned 27 earlier. He said he felt old, and we edited that out of the show, actually, because it was such a ridiculous statement. How do you feel in your day after your birthday? How'd you feel?
I feel good. I felt tired.
Thank you.
I felt tired on my birthday, but I don't feel old. My body doesn't feel old.
Good. Glad to hear that. Appreciate it. Hey, guests on the show receive a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Better at Jewelers in Scottsdale, Paul Benzel Jewelers in Yuma. Back to wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell and Darryl Washington from Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. All right, time to wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, Darryl Washington, get ready for the Niners on Sunday. And here's a dynamic, guys. You have your offensive coordinator's little brother is a starter on the Niners O-line, right? The Goodwin brothers. So how was that play this week? You know, I don't know. Has he done any sort of, you know, family mind tricks to try and download and divulge some information from his little brother? I mean, how has that worked this week, if at all, during practice?
You know, he hasn't really gave us too many tricks, but I have been talking trash to him, telling him to tell his brother that we're coming with everything we have. We're going to whoop him, you know.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a talented O-line. It's a big O-line, and they play with an edge, don't they?
They do. You know, they have a very physical mindset. And they are they're probably the most trash-talking O-line we play against, you know.
Really?
But, you know, it's a rivalry. So, you know, I don't know if they talk trash to everybody else, but against us, you know, Yeah, it's going to be a lot of trash talking.
That Boone guy, Alex Boone, reminds me incognito. Him and Dockett,
oh, yeah,
they go at it.
That's going to be a matchup. I mean, both of them talk a whole lot, so it's going to be fun. I'm going to be entertained the whole game, I'll tell you that.
You think they're a better run-blocking offensive line or pass-protecting offensive line?
Easy, run-blocker. Run-blocking easy.
Yeah.
And they use a fullback, don't they, Daryl? Sort of, you know, they sort of use a throwback Ron Wolfley fullback who, boom, gets in the hole, doesn't he?
Yeah, and that'll be our key. So, you know, we'll be ready.
You feel good about the game plan, don't you?
Definitely. So I'm ready to play now.
You're going to be right in the middle of it, aren't you?
I'll be all in it.
Well, you know, if you need to give Calais the mic, you know, go ahead. You know, if you go ahead and at any point, you know, it's because I want to hear some of the trash talking as well. Make sure you get close to Calais so I can hear some of this trash talking with the Niners O-line. Hey, special thanks to Jim Omohundro, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Jordan Bird. For Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. Daryl Washington, our guest. Calais Campbell, everyone. Calais, go ahead and take it out here on the Big Red Rage.
Thank you, everybody, for coming out and supporting us. You know, it's going to be a big W this week. So next week, we're going to have to go out there and win another one to take advantage of this division.
We'll see you next Thursday night.
You've been listening to The Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3, let's go!
And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Woo! What's up, what? What's up, Aces?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.